You're listening to Cards to the Moon, a podcast about trading cards from both a collector and investor perspective. We hope you'll stick around for the ride as we take a deep dive into the state of the hobby, share some hot takes, hopefully some useful advice and fun stories along the way. Hey guys, welcome back to Cards to the Moon. This is episode 210 and my name is Clark from 5cardguys.com and 5cardguys on Instagram. Co-hosting with me, as usual, is John, who is Trade You at Recess. Unfortunately, Hyung couldn't join us again this week, but he should be back with us next week. All right, so off the top, John, I think we first saw this a couple of weeks ago, but I can't remember the baseball player, but he showed the knob of his bat had a photo of his Topps baseball card from the 2024 Topps Series 1 set, and then a week or so later, other players started to have their Topps flagship baseball card photos on the bat knob. Well, now we know why, because Topps announced that those knobs will be cut off from the bats and then put into one-of-one autograph cards. So I want to get your thoughts. What do you think? Do you think it's cool or do you think it's a little too gimmicky? Or both?
I think that's what it is. I feel it's both. It's cool. I could understand if somebody's like, hey, that's way too gimmicky. I get it too. It does feel a bit gimmicky. But you know what? Yeah. At the end of the day, it's an additional chase in a product. That's awesome. Like the more you can load up the product with good stuff, whether it is gimmicky or not, I'm for it. And, you know, when it comes down to it, it is clearly it's game used, like documented.
Right.
And it's autographed. So whether it's a piece of a bat or a jersey or a piece of somebody's shoe or batting glove, this is for sure game used because people and fans are seeing it on video and then it's on the card. So I think in that sense, it's pretty cool. And if it is game used anything and autograph in general, it's cool. We're getting away from the player worn, event worn, not related to any player or event. We're getting away from that stuff. As long as all of this stuff is game worn, it is one of one. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, and we said this on a previous pod last year, the year before, when we started hearing Fanatics would get more involved in the hobby, and this was their specialty. You know what I mean? Game used material, and now we're seeing it come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Them being creative with what they could do, and I agree with you. I think it's a little gimmicky, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But then again, I was never really into bat knob cards to begin with, right? If I hit it, I'm like, okay, I'll list it on eBay and see what I can get for it. But to others, to each their own, that this is something extra. If you like bat knobs to begin with, this is even something extra. I can't see how you would be upset with it.
Right.
So good for Fanatics to come up with something creative like this. And like you said, I didn't even think about the whole like proving that it's game used. So that was a good point as well. Okay. Well, let's move on now to hobby headlines. All right, we're going to talk about all the announcements that came out of this year's Topps Industry Conference. And we actually started on last Friday's show. So if you missed it, go back and listen to that episode where we talked about the return of Topps Chrome Basketball, which is arguably the biggest news from the industry conference. And we talked about what we thought about the unlicensed autograph cards coming out this summer, because they won't get their license until next season, I believe, 2025-26. But for this episode, I want to start with the fact that Fanatics, which recently announced their own big sports convention show this August in New York City, which is called Fanatics Fest. We talked about this on our podcast already. Well, they're going to have a couple more in 2024, right? A smaller show will be in Pittsburgh this September, so just a month after the one in NYC. And another show will be in Orlando, Florida in November, as we previously heard from a few of our hobby friends. So that wasn't a huge surprise, but now it's official. Just a quick additional note before I get your thoughts, John. I read somewhere that the big NYC show in August, there will be about a 35% sports card presence, with the remaining 65% more generally sports fandom, like sports in general, right? But the Orlando show is said to be more heavy into collecting, so more focused on sports cards, FYI. So what do you think about this whole strategy of Fanatics hosting even more events? Do you think it's too much or more the better?
Well, at this point, I don't think the four of us need to plan to go to one of these events. We just wait for it to come to Toronto. At this rate, I think it's just going to come to our city. But yeah. I think that's cool to have one big monster show per year and then smaller shows dedicated within their own niche, whether it's, you know, memorabilia or sports cards. I think that's I think that's pretty cool because that caters directly to wherever you collect or whatever you like. So I'm for it. Pretty lucky that for sports car collectors, it's in Orlando. If you got a family, it makes it easy, like we were talking about before.
Yeah.
You can kind of kill two birds with one stone, take the family, go to the sports car show. So yeah, I'm for it. I don't see a problem with it. Would it get washed down a bit? I have no idea. We'll see what happens, how great these shows are, but
Yeah, no, it's funny because before we taped, I was asking you about Disney World, you know, because I've never been and you and Will both have been. So I'm like trying to convince my wife already to go to Orlando. And she's, you know, I think she's on the fence, but yeah, it'll be exciting. It'll be a good reason to bring the whole family, that's for sure. I think the more the better in this case, because really not everyone's going to go to every show, right? So, you know, some people might just go to the Orlando show, you know, other than influencers or people that are full-time hobbyists, you know, most of the people are going to be local, right? If you're close by, maybe you'll attend those shows. So really the more the better in my opinion. Yeah, it's kind of exciting. You did mention half jokingly, you know, we might as well wait for Fanatics to come to Toronto. But I did talk to Carlos, who was a recent pod guest, and he is, I believe, going to set up in Orlando as well. And but he did mention to me that Toronto, it definitely won't be this year, but maybe next. I don't know if that's an inside scoop, but we'll see.
Nice.
But that'll be great.
You know, for sure.
To have Fanatics Fest come up to Canada, come up to Toronto, but we'll see. All right. I want to kind of pivot and talk about even more product releases that were announced at the Topps Industry Conference. There are a few more, and let's kind of do almost a rapid fire on these. First one, the 1955 Bowman Anime Case Hits is going to be part of the 2024 Bowman baseball set, right? So right away, just imagine the manga prisms that we've seen in the past.
Right.
It's kind of like that. I don't know. Do you think it's a ripoff?
On the 1955 card design? Is that what that is?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, with the kind of, I think it's the wooden frame look, but yeah, with the anime cartoon.
This is for Bowman baseball?
2024 Bowman, yeah.
Wow.
Which is coming out soon.
I guess that's okay. Kind of gimmicky. I don't know how, like, you and Hyung are definitely more Bowman than I am. Ripping Bowman year to year, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like this just doesn't kind of fit into who's ripping Bowman and for what reason. You know what I'm saying? Like Prism, there are case hits, color blasts, cool thing. Bowman, it's not really about the case hits and this and that and inserts. It's more about the Bowman first auto chase. So it's right. Kind of a weird strategy, a weird distraction. I don't know. I don't feel like it fits into what Bowman is trying to accomplish with this product. It just feels like they're kind of latching onto some hype and trying to create some kind of crazy case hit, or I don't know. But I think they could have been a lot more creative if they wanted to get into case hits and stuff like that. I don't know. I think it's a little gimmicky. I'm not really a fan, especially for the Bowman set. It seems kind of weird.
Yeah, that's interesting, because if you take me as like a representative of who collects Bowman and who likes to rip Bowman, you're right. I don't think I would be totally enthusiastic depending on what the value is. Again, it's like one of those bat knob cards. I'll list it right away to see what I can get for it. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to keep this forever. It's not going to be like that. You know? So you're right. The Bowman anime, you know, I'm sure there'll be a audience for that. you know, I'm sure if you list it on eBay, someone will want it. But
right.
But you're right. And to think about it more, it doesn't seem like a good fit, but we'll see. I didn't think the Manga Prisms were that great either, but for some of them are still going for thousands of dollars, you know. So what do I know about anime and, you know, the crossover between anime and sports cards? Maybe it's a growing thing.
Right.
Who knows? All right. The second one, Topps Composite Football 2023. And, you know, you and I don't really collect much football, or especially modern football cards, but this new product consists of cards from Topps, Topps Chrome, Topps Chrome Cosmic, Heritage, Archives, Gallery, Midnight, Resurgence, and more, all in one product, and it's going to be released in Q3 of 2024. So they're calling it Topps Composite Football. What do you think about the idea of, you know, essentially getting all these different cards from different packs and putting it into one pack?
Right. When does Topps Chrome Football licensed come into play? Is it the same time as basketball?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Because I'm just thinking, is Topps Chrome Football not strong enough on their own that they're going to put it into this kind of Panini Chronicle-esque product? It seems kind of weird. But, I mean, if it's just for this 1 year, I get it. Maybe they thought Chrome Football is just not strong enough. I mean, unlicensed Topps Chrome Football is not strong enough on its own. Let's do this sort of mixture of things and see how it goes. A little bit of a test pilot. I get it. Not really my thing. I could really care less about it. So I guess it is what it is.
It's funny because Chronicles is obviously what we think of right away because it's similar in concept.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, what we think of Chronicles is it's lower end, right? Is that fair to say? Like that's what.
Correct.
You know, that's what, how people view Chronicles.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's going to be similar to Topps Composite Football. So yeah, I don't know. Not for me, but again, it could be a fun rip. I guess it all really depends on the price point of Topps, you know, because Chronicles tends to be cheaper as well than regular football card sets. So we'll see about that. All right, a couple more. Topps Transcendent. I don't even know what this means, but I read that Topps Transcendent is being reconfigured into a smaller product with more variety. So all we know about Topps Transcendent as is right now, before this version comes out, is that it's one of the most expensive boxes or sets to rip, right? Like we're talking five figures. So I wonder, by reconfiguring it, if they're going to lower the price. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
What do you think?
Is Topps Transcendent is the one where it comes with the full set of cards that are autographed, and then you get a couple of other outside hits from that, right?
Right.
For $20,000 or $25,000 for a box or something like that. So it's not really... It's definitely not a normal product. And it comes with like an invite to the Topps Transcendent VIP show. So it's kind of a weird, I don't know.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. It's almost like swag as a part of your $25,000 invite to the party or whatever. I don't know. It's different. It's not mainstream. It's not really public facing. So I am assuming this announcement is that they're creating more of like a public-facing Transcendent product where it's maybe like a... I don't know. I have no idea. Just based on what you're saying, maybe it's like a Topps Dynasty where it's going to be like a $3,000 to $5,000 box and it's... You rip and there's five cards in there and you're collecting towards a set. I don't know. Maybe it's going to become that. Who knows?
Yeah.
Transcendent is just one of those products that we don't relate to at all. It's just not in our wheelhouse. I don't even think about it. I don't know. And, you know, even if anything gets announced, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, Topps Transcendent. So then, right?
Yeah. The only thing I know about Topps Transcendent is when, you know, whoever gets one of these cards, they'll list the singles on eBay and you're like, wow, that costs a lot. Right. But, but you're right. 2023 Topps Transcendent. I'm just looking at the checklist. Each box starts with 20 gold framed autographs, right? Base versions are numbered to 20. With additional blue, emerald, platinum, red, and rose gold parallels also available at different rarities. And this is down significantly from the Beckett website, from 50 framed autographs just last year. So I guess they're making even smaller, I guess, from 50 to 20 to whatever it is. And maybe to your point is to make it more accessible, I guess, for more collectors. Maybe that's the case. I wonder if they get an invite, though, to the VIP event. you know,
maybe last year there was only half attendance because people didn't want to buy $20,000 boxes. So they're like, oh shoot, we got to cut this down into a $7,000 box or a $5,000.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, I feel like I could totally see that.
I feel like we have to reach out to DC. He would know.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm trying to book him on as an interview. So that's a good question to ask him. I'll definitely write that down. All right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And last one, this is kind of fun. Top Series 2 Baseball, which will be coming out sooner than we know. It'll feature celebrity first pitch cards. So we've all seen those memes and those videos of, you know, celebrity first pitches. I don't know. When you think of celebrity first pitch, is there anyone that comes to mind? Anyone that just really sucked?
I think the first one that comes to mind is 50 Cent. The one that
50 Cent. Yeah. So I wonder if these celebrity first pitch cards will be just for this coming year or this year, this season,
right?
And I wonder if they'll have like autographs. That'd be kind of neat. It's kind of like Allen and Ginter with their non-sports autos,
right? Yeah, I'm for it. You know, if they do these one, if it's one-off, you know, and next year they come up with something else that they want to include in the set as additional hits, I'm for it. If they do this as like an ongoing thing for the rest of time, it'll probably get a little bit tiresome because it is gimmicky to begin with. But yeah, in a 1 year span, in a small vacuum, yeah, I'm cool with it.
There's something similar, I think I read somewhere, where it might be in series two as well, but they'll have the musician and the athlete who uses that musician's walk-up song on the card, on the same card as well. What do you think about that?
Wait, hang on. So like a
you know, like you're gonna baseball relic? Game. Or auto, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think there's
dual
some kind
auto of the musician and the walk-up song.
Right.
Okay. That'd be cool. Creative. So again, if you know, this year it's the first pitch and it's a piece of their jersey and auto, cool. And then the next year it's something like that. I'm for that. Every year some sort of different creative way of connecting sports and pop culture. I'm down with that.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. I'm just looking at some of the walk-up songs from some of the players. So Josh Young of the Rangers, Can't Stop by Red Hot Chili Peppers. That'd be a cool card.
Right.
A lot of these American baseball players, they love their country. Luke Combs, Corey right. Seager. So I'm like, I'm not, you know, totally familiar with that music. Mike Trout. Oh, Mike Trout, Young Jeezy.
Young right? Jeezy.
There you go. Any other good ones? Yeah, so I think it'll be a chase for some. Like, it depends on the musician, of course, and the combination of the musician, who the player is. But
right.
I love it. I wish I was at the Topps Industry Conference. Yeah, like it sounds more exciting than previous years, right? Where there's actual product releases to talk about. You know, it's not the same old.
Yeah.
You know, when we used to do the podcast a year ago, it's like, you know, okay, yeah, that's another year of Topps Transcendent, 50 autograph cards. But now it's like, you know, creative, different things that, yeah, sure, some of them are way too gimmicky, but at least they're thinking outside the box. That's right. How we see it.
Right. Progress.
Yes. All right. One more item of the discussion for Hobby Headlines. And I don't know if this was announced at the industry conference or just before. I feel like it was just before, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it since. So I want to briefly mention it right now. It's Topps announcing that redemption cards dating back to 2021, 2022, that product line year, it won't expire after the regular 2 year time frame, right? So they usually have a 2 year time frame. Instead, they are extending it to 10 years. So your initial thoughts. For me, I'll go first. Immediate thought for me is that that's great news. You know, no one likes expired redemption cards, you know, and I know it's only going back to 21, 22, but you know, those cards would have expired this year. Now it's going to expire in 2034. So you got time to redeem or to actually have those redemption cards fulfilled by the manufacturers. other side of me is thinking, does that mean they're going to take 10 years to fulfill those redemption cards? Like, you can't throw them away yet, you know? You're like, oh, when's my redemption coming?
I didn't even think about that. Oh, so, man. That's brutal.
Please, Tops, don't do that.
Had I gone first, I wouldn't even said that. I would have thought, yeah, this is great news. 10 additional, whatever, from 2 to 10 years, it's perfect. Let's hope it's not the latter where, you know, it's going to take 10 years for these athletes to sign these cards. right. And you know what? Perhaps they're listening to a lot of how the hobby has been shaping now, right? Because it's pretty prevalent now that holding on to boxes, you know, is sort of a mainstream investment.
Yeah, true.
Strategy to do, right? And it would really suck if some of the biggest names in the product are redemption hits and you hang on to this box for 5, 6, 7, 8 years and you're the potential for that box is just getting destroyed because they're expired redemption cards, right? So I would hope that went into it where they're listening to the hobby a bit, seeing how the hobby is sort of unfolding and developing. I mean, holding on to boxes has been a thing for many people, for many smart people, right? People who have, invested in over the last, like the person who had, the gentleman who had the 1975 OPG hockey box, you know, and then his kids ended up finding it in his collection. Like that kind of stuff is cool. But in mainstream nowadays, it's becoming, it's pretty normal to either buy singles and invest in that or even just collect boxes. So I think it's a good thing overall.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? I'm not one of those smart people because I would rip right away.
Me too.
Like I'm not saving any... sealed wax. So, but yeah, that's a good point. And you know, like I wonder, you know, after 2021, 22, if people didn't know this announcement, you know, they're going to think, oh, that maybe there's an opportunity there. Look, I don't know what hits are in the 21, 22 for any particular sport or, you know, any particular set, but, I don't know. Makes me think that you might want to look back on that after this year. So yeah, that's, generally a good thing. I hope the 10 years thing, we joked about it, but I hope that's not a license for Tops to take their time to try to get some of these redemption cards filled, because that would absolutely suck. All right, let's go on to our next segment, and it's the hobby's favorite game to play, the Cards to the Moon quiz show. All right, we haven't done this in a while, but I thought we would bring it back for this episode, and for this particular quiz show, it's going to be almost like Family Feud, all right? So I'm just going to give you two questions, and I was hoping that Hyung was here so it would be more fun, but you're on your own, okay? But I feel like the first one is doable. It's definitely doable.
Okay.
Second one might be more difficult for you because you're not as into baseball
as
Hyung is, but let's start with number one, all right? 7 answers on the board. Which NBA players had at least one of their basketball cards sell for more than $1 million.
Oh, okay. Jordan.
Michael Jordan, yep.
By the way, did his Logo Man sell? I know we talked about that the last
month. The Golden 100 auction? No, it's still going on for still another going. Month.
Okay, so yep. Jordan. I know Kobe's Refractor was over $1 million, so we got Kobe.
There you go, two.
Curry, that's another one.
You got it.
Let's go with the easy ones. Let's go LeBron.
4.
I want to say Giannis. I think Giannis had one.
Giannis does have one. 5. Wow. It's too easy.
No, now it gets hard. Who would be next?
Oh, there's one just there, right there. You know it too.
Ripe for the picking?
Yeah. Low-hanging fruit.
Oh, shoot.
And then the other one is kind of tricky, but we did talk about this in a previous episode. So okay. I think you can do it. You got 0 strikes.
Five
out of 7.
Yeah, Lucas. Sorry.
Lucas
got the 6. $3 million. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if it's a more of a vintage card, but I don't think it is. It probably have to be modern, right? Yeah. No, you don't have to say, but I will. Oh, who would it be? Who would have $1 million card? It can't. I don't think Durant's likable enough to have $1 million card.
I don't know if it's about being likable or not. It's just about the timing with the market,
yeah.
Especially during
good point.
Pandemic peaks.
Trae Young?
That's your first strike. Good guess, but that's your first strike.
$1 million card. Give me a clue.
It's modern, that's for sure. Yeah, it's not vintage.
Okay, so it's got it. I have to assume it's like a logo man or something. Shoot, I'm drawing blanks.
Take a wild guess and I'll give you a clue for the last one.
James Harden? No, I don't even feel
confident. Strike two.
Yeah.
Strike two. Here's a clue. You want a big clue or a small clue?
Big clue. I'm struggling.
Currently plays for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, Anthony Davis. Yeah. That's right. He did have one. Oh, man. We did. I think we talked about that.
We did. That's I remember right. We did. I was wondering if you would remember. But yeah, right. That's the tricky one. But you did well. Six right off the bat without a strike until the last one.
Stupid Anthony Davis.
All right. Let's see if you could do this one. All right. Four answers on the board. In 2005, Upper Deck had an insert card number to 10. That featured four pitchers in the 4,000 career strikeouts club. And it was autographed on card by each of those pitchers, right? So it's a really cool card. Who are the four pitchers that signed the card? You might get a few of them, actually.
4,000 strikeouts?
By 2005.
Okay. I'm like, pitchers-wise... And stats, I can only think back to the 90s when I was a kid because mm-hmm. I knew pitchers back then. Nowadays, okay. Not so much.
Yeah. So you might get this.
So I'm guessing like Nolan Ryan.
That's one. Yeah.
Nice. Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson, two.
Oh.
You're halfway there.
Wait, there's four?
Yes.
How many pitchers have ever gotten 4,000 strikeouts?
It's a good question. I could look it up while you... Try to think, but
holy, who's? Yeah, so 2005. So obviously none of the modern guys. I can only think of, and they were four.
There's only four. So the four that you need. There's only four right now.
There's only four.
Yeah, the next modern or the next pitcher that is currently pitching, that's the closest. I don't know if he's gonna get there. Number 11 is Max Scherzer with 3,367.
Wow.
And Justin Verlander is right behind him, 3,355.
Right.
And they are 39 and 41 years old, respectively.
Damn. So 2005, if I was collecting the early 90s, that's 15 years. So maybe a lot of these pitchers, especially the really good ones, got there.
So you got the top two. Nolan Ryan had 5,714 strikeouts, number one.
Nice.
And Randy Johnson was number two with 4,875.
Right. I'll probably get embarrassed saying something like this, but would somebody like Sandy Koufax be on that list?
Koufax is not in the top four, not in the top 50.
Jeez. Okay. Not even close.
He's actually 51 though. Yeah, 51.
Right outside top 50. Who's good at striking out when I was young?
Okay, this is a clue, okay? Because yeah. I think you'll get this guy eventually. Yeah. I don't know if you'll get number four because he's a little older, but... Number three on the list, he actually pitched for the Toronto Blue Jays at one point.
2005?
Maybe not that year, but that's when the card came out, right? Yeah.
Roy Halladay was 2005, pretty young. It's not him.
No.
Oh, Roger Clemens.
Yeah, Roger Clemens, number three on the list.
Nice.
Yeah. Last one. Four. He played for the Philadelphia Phillies. He's older for sure.
Philadelphia Phillies.
Definitely before our time.
I was going to say Andy Pettit, but he's not Phillies.
No. Before that.
Oh, before era. Our time. Oh, God. No, Before our time, I'm waving the white flag. I can't do before our time.
His name is Steve Carlton.
Steve Carlton. Never would have guessed that.
4,136 strikeouts. Yeah. Oh, that's not bad. It's not three. It's not bad. Out of the four. Not
bad. I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't know any. I don't think I would have guessed Steve Carlton either, to tell you the truth. I would have gotten the first three just by guessing guys that came out of my head. But yeah. Other notables, Greg Maddux, 10 on the list, 3,371.
Greg Maddux. Oh, I would have guessed him if we kept going. Right.
He's in the top 10 for now. Max Scherzer he will eclipse him for sure if he plays the season. And same with Justin Verlander. So, all right. Good job. Oh, Pedro Martinez. Can't forget about him. Number 15.
Pedro Martinez. Damn. Good pitchers.
All right. So that's another edition of Quiz Show for you guys. But you did well. I know it's sometimes you just. The last time we did it, you just went 0-5 or something.
That's for sure.
I love it. I love being the host of Quiz Show just to tease you guys, but it's all good. All right, let's end off this episode with our regular weekly segment we call Pick One. All right, so Hyung usually starts things off, but since he's not here,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you have one to start off with?
I do. Okay. I think somebody did this before, but I'm going pick 1v1v1. Three. A little bit outside the rules. We're going to go investment-wise, and I'll just pick, hypothetically, I'll pick Gold Refractor Auto. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have Wemby's Bowman First University Gold Refractor Auto, so the first ever?
Yeah.
The unlicensed Topps Chrome Gold Refractor Auto, which is his rookie year, or the eventual licensed Topps Chrome Gold Refractor Auto of Wemby? Which of the three Wembys would you invest in?
You know why I'm laughing? Because my pick one is...
Is that yours?
Did you pick the top? Yes, exact same one. Yeah, I'm going first next time, all right? So anyway, I'll answer this, and then I got to think of one on the fly. I'm so glad I went first
because I have a backup. Sorry, Clark.
No, that's okay. I'll have to edit something in. But since this was my original one, I think I'm going to go with the unlicensed, to tell you the truth.
Whoa.
I think it looks nice to begin with.
Right.
Right? Like, I think maybe I could be persuaded the other way if it was like that black curtain Panini Prism one and that was the image and they have an autograph of that and you know you can see his front, it looks like he's wearing pajamas, like those regular unlicensed cards that we think of. But because it looks nice, you know, the mock-up that we've seen already or the ones that have been released already, and it is his rookie season, I feel like that counts for something, you know. And the other licensed one next year, it's going to be, I don't know if anyone's going to consider that his rookie card just because it has a logo. I think it's going to be considered, I'm going to consider it anyway, a second year card from 1B. So that's going to devalue it in my opinion. I might be wrong, but that's what I think. So it is his true rookie card. Yes, it does have its license, but the image looks sharp. And I think that's going to be a big chase. So I'm going with, and then you have the gold. I didn't think about the third one. I don't, I'm not into the, you know, the what was that, the gold prism one, did you say?
No, I just chose gold refractor auto, but it could be any auto. It's just whatever is the equivalent apples to apples comparison, right? So if it's refractor auto or whatever it is.
So I'm going for the unlicensed rookie auto.
Right,
true rookie auto.
So we always talked about Bowman First and what we thought of the long term. And Bowman First is such a unique hobby logic to baseball. It's so specific to baseball for many reasons.
Right.
And one of the main reasons is it has the imaging. So you can superimpose or, you know, edit in the graphics of Bo Bichette being on the Blue Jays in 2016, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very specific I think now that Chrome is coming out, it's going to really test the longevity of this Bowman. We'll see. I don't think it's going to stand. I personally didn't think of Bowman U as a long-term thing. And I think I would naturally go towards the second year licensed. But okay. I think the imaging is strong enough and hidden enough with the rookie logo that I think the rookie logo may have won out regardless, even if the imaging was poor. But yeah. I think if with the good imaging, it could certainly help. And of the three options, it's going to be unlicensed. Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. Unlicensed sweep. Yeah. Yeah. When the second year comes out, if the image looks amazing, I might change my mind. But like without having seen what it looks like,
it's gonna be front center Spurs logo. Yeah. It's
I'm like, damn, that looks really good. You know what? That's a true rookie year. I'll lead the charge in making that the true rookie. All right, that's a good one. Now, as you were explaining your reason, I was desperately looking for my 1v1.
I'd be impressed if you come up with something.
I think I found one. Okay. All right. Oh man, this might be too easy. I'm like second guessing myself on these because it's on the fly. Okay. You know what? If it's too easy, people will understand why, because I literally just thought about it 5 seconds ago. Okay. So Jackson Holliday, I think I briefly mentioned it. I don't know if it was this episode or the one on Friday, but he's been sent down to the minors again. He was batting 2 for 39, he was batting an average of 0.03 something. Like, it was bad, right? Wow. Like, he could not adjust to MLB pitching. I'm not worried, but his gold first Bowman autograph card, gold refractor, and I believe a PSA 10, dipped from 12,000 at the beginning of April to 6,005. So almost half in 3-4 weeks. Right, so I'm gonna put up that gold refractor first Bowman card of Jackson Holliday, going for, let's say, 6,500, round number. Or would you want a Juan Soto first Bowman purple refractor, PSA 10 for the same price?
I think you know my answer.
This is too easy.
You know what? For those that believe in Jack, not to say that I don't. He sounds and looks every bit the legit prospect.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think if he's struggling this year, and this might kind of hurt his psyche, he may not go back down to the minors swinging bombs. Like, he might struggle a bit. Maybe we might not see him for the rest of the year back up in the majors, and he'll be down in the minors for the rest of the season and let him marinate a bit more down there. If that's the case, I think there's a pretty good odds of that happening, and if that's the case, then this gold refractor should come down even more. So it's not so much about me automatically. I think I would choose Soto because I know more about major league players than I do prospects, but for that fact alone, that I think the card, there's a good chance the card goes down even further for the rest of the year. I would almost pick anything against Jackson Holliday. No offense to him, but just in general. So almost by default, I'm picking the Soto.
Okay, that's easy. I'm going to pick the Soto as well. But I just found another card because I'm like, oh, that was too easy. And I think this is too easy as well for you. But Mike Trout, okay? I'm bringing up Mike Trout because freaking guy can't stay healthy. And, I'm wondering if this is the last straw for a lot of Mike Trout collectors. You know what I mean? Like, we're all hoping.
It could be.
For this is the year that's... And he was, 10... He was leading the league in home runs.
Right.
And it's the same story. When he's healthy, he's the best. But when he's not, then, it's all lost. So that's why I'm putting on Mike Trout. His 2009 first Bowman Chrome again, but his refractor BGS9, okay? Sold for just under 6,500 a few days ago. Wow. Are you still sticking with Mike Trout?
Wow.
Bowman Chrome. First Bowman Chrome 2009, but BGS9 versus a gold PSA 10 refractor for Jackson Holliday.
Right. I think both are on. Yeah, sorry, Clark. I hate to say this, but I feel like both are on their way down.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Clark, you would know best. I think however you're feeling about Trout and your investment mm-hmm. in Trout, and you're a Trout fan as well, right? You're not just some random yep. guy who just, throw some money. It's not like that at all. Like, you're a fan of Trout. You wanted to PC some of his cards. I would think the majority of Trout collectors feel the way you do after hearing the news, right? They're kind mm-hmm. of on the teetering on the edge of like, man, I think now I'm finally going to say, I think it's time to bail. Like, I think they could be teetering on that thought.
For sure.
So that's what scares me about Trout. And I think the card's going to come down. It's going to come down quite a bit, enough that mm-hmm. it's going to tempt a lot of people to get back in. But now I'm just straight up concerned about Trout. I just don't know if he has any more full seasons in him. So by default, for that reason, I'm going back the other way and I'll take the volatility.
Wow. And the hype
in Jackson. It's not normally the route I would take, but that's how much the Trout situation is starting to concern me now. I'd rather take the risk on Jackson Holiday at this point.
Okay. Well, yeah, this is definitely a better 1v1. And oh man, when I saw this, I'm like, I'm tempted to even buy at this price point. It's a refractor number to 500. Right. You know, I'm like, it's a trap, and I'm falling for it again. You know? So, oh man, I think I'm sticking with the Trout. I guess I'm stubborn.
Yeah,
it's just double down. It's like double down. It's like one year Trout. Right. You know, how old is he? 32, 33,
something like that. Yeah.
So, you know, he's not like mid upper 30s yet. So I think there's at least one season. That's all I need. One season. And I think he can. I was hoping obviously it was this year, but
yeah,
that's sad to hear what happened to him.
I think time's running out, man. I think if he does have a full season in him, it was number one, it should have happened this year.
Yeah.
If not, I feel like he's got maybe two seasons left to prove that he does. Because once he's 35, 36, it's over by then, right?
It's a tight window. And not it's even just for that, too, right? Like, the knock on Mike Trout is winning a playoff game. And the Angels are obviously horrible. No, that's not a surprise. He just needs to get out of LA. And if he does, you know, he's getting older, too. So what's, you know, is he going to be a major contributor to what team he goes on?
Right.
Maybe
right.
he's just going to be a role player, and that's going to diminish his value a little bit, you know? So I'm concerned, but I'm still hopeful for one more season. It's got to be in the next 2 years, though, you know, and that's what concerns me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the other argument is you were saying this already when you were making your case over for Juan Soto over Jackson Holiday. I do believe the gold refractor is going to go down even more. Like, is that 6.5? I could see it go below 5,000
right.
when everything's said and done. And so there might be a better opportunity to get a really high-end Jackson Holiday. And you know what? I'm still in on Jackson Holiday. I put him on my watch list. Like, this is a time, if you believe him, to get him if you see a big dip. Because, you know, when else are you going to see that big dip than right now when he got sent down after batting 0-3 something, you know? So he can't be that bad, you know? So that's what I believe in. All right. Well, that's the 1v1 turned out okay, considering you stole mine at the very last minute. But I thought it turned out all right. So, thanks again to all our listeners. We appreciate you guys, and we'll definitely have a brand new episode for you next week. Talk to you then. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to Cards to the Moon. We'd really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also connect with each of us on Instagram at 5CardGuys, or you can follow Hyung at Integrity Sports Cards, or John at TradeU at Recess. You can also check us out at 5CardGuys.com. Thanks again, and hope to connect soon.